Welcome to episode 228 of the 1010 Thrive podcast, brought to you by 1010 Thrive Ministries. I'm Peter Anderson. 1010 Thrive, 10 minutes a day based on 10 guidelines for abundant living. Today we continue our study of the book of Romans. Romans 3, verse 28. Therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. The basic theme of Romans is justification by faith, the great truth that more than any other factor triggered the Protestant Reformation. The word justification simply means being made or declared righteous. It is about moving from a state of sinfulness to a state of righteousness. This is the idea. The transgressor of the law comes before a judge and is condemned to death for his transgressions. But a substitute appears and takes the transgressor's crimes upon himself, thus clearing the criminal. By accepting the substitute, the criminal now stands before the judge, not only cleared of his guilt, but also regarded as never having committed the crimes for which he was brought into court. And that's because the substitute, who has a perfect record, offers the pardoned criminal his own perfect law-keeping. In the plan of salvation, each of us is the criminal. The substitute, Jesus, has a perfect record, and he stands in the court in our stead. His righteousness is accepted in place of our failures, our faults, our flaws, our frauds, our fears, our fallacies, our falsehoods, our fakeness, our foolishness, our filth. Hence, we are justified before God, not because of our works, but because of Jesus, whose righteousness becomes ours when we accept it by faith. Talk about good news. In fact, the news can't get any better than that. Romans 3, verses 19 to 20. Obviously, the law applies to those to whom it was given, for its purpose is to keep people from having excuses and to show that the entire world is guilty before God. For no one can ever be made right with God by doing what the law commands. The law simply shows us how sinful we are. Paul uses the term law in its broad sense, as the Jews in his day would understand it. By the term Torah, the Hebrew word for law, a Jew even today thinks particularly of God's instruction in the first five books of Moses, but also more generally to God's revelation in the entire Old Testament. Thus, we can think of the law as a system of Judaism, the moral law, the 10 guidelines for abundant living, plus the amplification of those guidelines in various statutes and judgments, as well as ceremonial precepts. To be under the law means to be under its jurisdiction. The law, however, reveals a person's shortcomings and guilt before God. The law cannot remove that guilt. The most it can do is lead the sinner to seek a remedy for that guilt. As we apply the book of Romans in our day, when Jewish law is no longer a factor, we think of law particularly in terms of the moral law, the Ten Commandments. Yes, those 10 guidelines. This law can't save us any more than the system of Judaism could save the Jews. To save a sinner is not the moral law's function. Its function is to reveal God's character and to show people wherein they fall short of reflecting that character. Whichever law it is, moral, ceremonial, civil, or all combined, the keeping of any or all in and of itself will not make a person just or righteous in God's sight. In fact, the law never is intended to do that. On the contrary, the law is to point out our shortcomings and lead us to Christ. It is to show us our need for Christ. The law can no more save us and the symptoms of a disease can cure the disease. The symptoms don't cure. They point out the need for the cure. They perhaps demand the need for the intervention of a physician. That's how the law functions. Romans 3, verse 21. But now the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law, although the law and the prophets bear witness to it. This new righteousness is contrasted with the righteousness of the law, which is a righteousness with which the Jews are familiar. the new righteousness is called the righteousness of God. That is, a righteousness that comes from God, a righteousness that God provides, and the only one that he accepts as true righteousness. This is, of course, the righteousness that Jesus demonstrates through his perfect life while here in human flesh, a righteousness that he offers to all who will accept it by faith, who will claim it for themselves, not because they deserve it, but because they need it. One writer says righteousness is obedience to the law. The law demands righteousness, and this the sinner owes to the law, but he's incapable of rendering it. The only way in which he can attain to righteousness is through faith. Romans 3, verse 24. Yet God, in his grace, freely makes us right in his sight. He did this through Christ Jesus when he freed us from the penalty of our sins. Other versions speak of being justified freely as a gift of grace. We are justified when we are declared righteous by God. Before this justification, a person is unrighteous and thus unacceptable to God. After justification, he or she is regarded as righteous and thus acceptable to him. And this happens only through God's grace. Grace means favor. When a sinner returns to God for salvation, it is an act of grace to consider or declare that person to be righteous. It is unmerited favor, and the believer is justified without any merit of his or her own, without any claim to present to God in his or her own behalf, except his or her utter helplessness. The person is justified through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, the redemption that Jesus offers as the sinner's substitute and surety. The good news that Paul is eager to share with all who would listen is that there is available to humanity his, that is God's, righteousness, and that it comes to us not by works, not by our merits, but by faith in Jesus and what he has done for us. Because of the cross of Calvary, God can declare sinners righteous and still be considered just and fair in the eyes of the universe. Satan can point no accusing finger at God, for heaven has made the supreme sacrifice. You see, Satan had accused God of asking of the human race more than he was willing to give. The cross refutes this claim. Works of law cannot atone for past sins. Justification cannot be earned. It can be received only by faith in the atoning sacrifice of Christ. Therefore, in this sense, works of law have nothing to do with justification. To be justified without works means to be justified without there being anything in ourselves to merit justification. However, do not misunderstand Paul's point about being justified apart from the law. Some who misinterpret Romans say that all one has to do is believe. They downplay works or obedience, even obedience to the moral law. But in Romans and elsewhere, Paul attaches great importance to the keeping of the moral law. Romans 2 verse 13, for it is not the hearers of the law who are righteous before God, but the doers of the law who will be justified. Jesus keeps the law, as do apostles like James and John. Paul's point is that although obedience to the law is not the means of justification, the person who is justified by faith still keeps the law of God. And in fact, only one who is justified can keep the law. An unregenerate person who has not been justified can never fulfill the requirements of the law. Father, what good news that Christ's character stands in place of our character. We are accepted before you just as if we had not sinned. Give us the faith to believe and help us to accept the free gift of salvation offered to us today. That's our episode. Remember that God calls you not only to live, but to thrive. Live life to the full today.